All right, if you would tonight, open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 8. The book of Acts, chapter number 8. Have a little Bible study time tonight. I believe it would be good for us. Amen. It's always good to study the Bible. Let's look at a few things here tonight. Acts chapter number 8. Begin reading verse number 1. We know we just come from the choosing in Acts chapter number 6 of the deacons. We know that Stephen, of course, in Acts chapter number 7 was stoned. The stoning of Stephen. And then we come to Acts chapter number 8. And we see the Bible says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And that consenting was Saul consenting unto Stephen's death. He wasn't necessarily the one that throwed the stone, but he was consenting to it and said that it was certainly approved by him to allow that to take place. Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen. That time there was great persecution against the church which was in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. The people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Verse number 7, for unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many were taken with palsy, that were lame, were healed. The Bible says in verse number 8, there was great joy in that city. There was evidence, of course, of revival. We see that there was certainly some change. When revival takes place, there will be evidence, there will be changes made in the city and in the individual's life. Find as we study that, there was great joy in that city because of the changes that were made because of Jesus Christ and those that had received him as Lord and Savior. Notice with me verse 9, the Bible says, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. To them, or to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. To him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. When they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. When the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Watch your Bibles, what Simon said. He answered and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. I'm just going to interject this real quickly. Simon was a deceiver. He was used of the devil to try to deceive the people. He also wondered and marveled at the miracles that was performed by Philip and the things that he done. The Bible never says that Simon repented of his sin and asked the Lord to forgive him of the wickedness of his heart. But he did say there in verse number 24, he answered and said, pray ye to the Lord for me. And I want to say no one can pray and ask God to forgive us of our sins but we ourselves. Amen. Man, we know that. All right, then they which had testified and preached the word of the Lord returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And a eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Philip answered, opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, that's reading the entire chapter number 8 of the book of Acts, 1 through 40. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us tonight to be in your house. And I pray, Lord, that you'd hold back all the opposing powers, Lord, tonight. Guard these lips of clay, and Father, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, tonight as we study the precious Word of God. And I pray, Lord, your will is accomplished, your will is done. Use me, Father, speak through me and help me to say only that that's needful and necessary in this hour. Father, we thank you, we'll praise you for your grace, for your mercy, and Lord, for all that you do. Speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to glean from Scripture tonight. Jesus' loving name I pray, amen and amen. We study this passage of Scripture, we understand that there was persecution among the church. We study that as we find in the book of Acts. Of course, the day of Pentecost had come in Acts chapter number 2. And there's great persecution among the church. A lot of things are taking place. And of course, Saul was making havoc, the Bible says in verse number 3, he's making havoc of the church. And the church is in the very beginning stages. Jesus had given the outline of the book of Acts in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all Samaria, and othermost parts of the earth. Chapters 1 through 7 of the book of Acts, the Lord's working through the church in Jerusalem. Chapter 8 through 12, the Lord is working through the church in Judea and Samaria. 13 through 28 chapters, the Lord is working through the church in the uttermost part of the earth. It's amazing how the sovereign God can get his work done. Amen. We see there's three conversions in these chapters, chapter 8, chapter 9, and 10. We find that represents the entire human race for those that are saved. The Ethiopian was a black man. He is descendant of Ham. You'll find there's also Saul of Tarsus. He was a Jew, which is a descendant of Shem. And then also Cornelius was a Gentile. He is a descendant of Japheth. So that represents Japheth, that represents all the human race and all nations. They represent three spiritual conditions, which we often find. First of all, the eunuch wanted to be saved, didn't know how to be saved. We meet people like that. There's some that want to be, but don't know how to be. And we find those that are like Saul. They're blind to their religious, self-satisfied religion that they're in. They're blind to their needs of true religion or true salvation. They're blinded to that. And Saul, as you study the life of Saul, which later became Paul, he did what he did out of a true heart. I mean, he really and truly believed what he was doing was right. He believed that's what he'd been taught. He thought that was the thing to do. And so under the law, he was really following the law of Moses and felt like he was doing the right thing. But then the Lord shed some light on that. We found that later in Saul's life, and he realized what he was doing was wrong. But Saul was blinded He's like many people we meet today that's blinded by the religion. There's some that's caught in occults. There's some that's caught in different doctrines that's absolutely contrary to the Word of God. And those type are really hard to reach. Amen. It takes the grace of God and God to speak into their hearts through the precious Word of God to ever get them to see. And sometimes maybe they don't ever see, but those are some of the hardest to reach. But we find that as we look in chapters 8, 9, and 10 of the book of Acts, there's these three different types of individuals. We find there's three different types of spiritual conditions. The eunuch, as I said, wanted to be saved. And then Saul didn't see his need of salvation. He thought he was all right in his religion. Then we find that there's Cornelius. He certainly heard the message and accepted Christ and was saved. Amen. He paid attention and he grabbed a hold of what was being said and accepted Christ as his Savior. The background of this chapter is the death of Stephen and the calling of Philip. Philip is an example of a believer that God can use both publicly and privately. And I want to share that with you tonight simply because I believe that we can certainly be used publicly as well as privately. And we find that Philip went about preaching. Verse 12 says, and when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. Philip was a deacon within the church. We study these deacons in the church in the book of Acts. We find that Stephen was a deacon that died a martyr's death. And we find Philip was a deacon that died a missionary's death. And he left and went out and preached the gospel. He wasn't, he wasn't one of those that was martyred, but he died a missionary's death on the field preaching and reaching souls for Christ. And we find that certainly he can be used publicly and privately. We find that as he preached into the city, and many had heard that, and they heard what he said concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. And so publicly, as he went about preaching, many folks heard what he was saying, they believed what he was saying, believed the word of God, and they were saved. Then we find privately, he finds this eunuch, and he sees him there, and he's reading the book of Isaiah, and he's reading that, and it's just amazing how God puts things together. God can use a deacon to speak publicly and also can use him to speak privately. We ourselves need to be aware of that God can use us privately. God doesn't, I don't believe in happenstance, and God doesn't happenstancely or coincidentally send us by somebody's way. God puts people in our path for a reason, and we find that here in Philip's life. Yes, he was going about and he was preaching publicly. Now he's on this path and he finds here there's someone that he needs to speak to. Being led of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in verse 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. I just wonder sometimes how many times we miss the leading of the Spirit when somebody's in our path and we see them and see that they're there, maybe have a need or maybe have some questions. Sometimes we fail to follow the Spirit and lead and go and see if we can help them or speak to them. Here we see that Philip was doing that, and we find that he leads this eunuch to the Lord. And he teaches him, the Bible says he's preaching unto him. But basically he's just taking the same scripture that the eunuch was reading and he expounds on that word of God. It's very important to us to be able to expound the word of God. We're to know and be able to give an answer to every man. I've preached that many times and spoke about that several times. And we're to be able to answer every man. So we may find somebody that has a question about the Bible, and we ought to be able to expound on that and share with them what thus saith the Word of God, because God puts people in our path for us to reach. Amen. We ought to be looking for that and expecting that. And here we see that Philip certainly was doing that. But we see as Philip goes about the city, there's revival in the city. Now, there's several things I want to share with you what brought about this revival. First of all, there was trouble in the city. There's problems in the city. We find, first of all, there's the death of Saul. There's a problem. Saul was consenting into the death of Stephen, and there's the death of a Christian. It's a martyr's death, and certainly that brings about trouble. Also, we find in verse number 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church. Not only was Stephen now one of the deacons of the church martyred and killed, now Saul is making havoc of the church. And that shows us that there's trouble within the city. There's problems there. And that word havoc is an expression used by the raven or raging wild animals, how they'll rip and tear and destroy something, trying to devour it or whatever they're trying to do with it, whether it's just to tear it up or to try to eat it. Either way, it's tearing everything up. And that word havoc is exactly what Saul was doing to the church. He was destroying the church. And the Bible says that they were scattered in verse number 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So Philip goes down to Samaria. And so we find here that there was some trouble in the land before the revival came. The word scattered is like sowing seed by hand. Many times God allows us to be scattered because of our becoming content and becoming satisfied. And so we need to understand that when troubles are coming and people begin to scatter out, well, it may be a time for revival. Amen. Persecution was on the church. And listen, we many times think when persecution comes, that's not the time for revival. That's the time to stay away and keep everybody away. But that's absolutely wrong. That's the perfect time for revival. When there's persecution in the church, troubles in your life, troubles in my life, amen, that's the perfect time for revival. It began with one individual. We find that it doesn't take a great big crowd to have revival. Amen. I know in our day you don't find that. You'll find all this hype, amen, all this hype about different evangelists and all that kind of stuff. But it only takes one individual to see revival get started. The study of the revival of Wales in the 1914, I believe it was, one little girl, young girl, 14 years old, stood up and said, I just want to say I love the Lord. And revival broke out in the land, and thousands upon thousands of people were saved because one individual with a pure heart stood and said, I just want to say that I love the Lord. And God can certainly use that. God is using Philip here to bring about revival. It began with one individual. Philip was a deacon, and of course God didn't use now the 12 apostles. He only used one deacon, and he's nothing really special about Philip. The Bible says that he went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. The things about Samaritan was they was half Jew and half Gentile. And the Jews hated them and had no dealings with them. But Philip went down to preach unto them, and he preached Christ unto them. Now, something very important about this also in verse number 5 is that he preached Christ. He didn't preach religion. He didn't preach preferences. He didn't preach on dressing right and looking right. He preached Christ. Amen. Christ does the saving and the cleansing. Amen. And so we find that it was started by Philip and his concern for those that were lost. And as we read this and look at this, we see that the revival began because of trouble, and it was began with one individual. And what was the results of this revival? What was the results of Philip preaching Christ unto these Samaritans? Well, first of all, it says in verse number 6 that the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. What happened in revival was it blended the people together. I'm telling you, whenever we have true revival, people will be in accord with one another. Amen? And it brought them together. Notice the blending. It's a unity. They was hearing and heeding the word of God. We see many times that people say that they have revival, and somewhere along the way, somebody didn't hear or heed the word of God. We talked about many times before the big revival that took place down in Burlington. Now, I'm not saying that folks didn't get saved in that meeting. I don't know who got saved and who didn't get saved, but I do know this. After all that was over with, there's many folks that didn't heed or hear the word of God, because there were several churches that they took pictures of after the fact, even the church that performed or put it on. And listen, there was empty pews and empty seats, and half the congregation and members themselves wasn't even there on the following Sunday. Now, the Bible teaches us that true revival, it brings people together. It doesn't scatter them. It brings them together. Amen? And so we understand that many folks today in our day say they have revival, and they don't have true revival. What is true revival? True revival is folks coming together in unity. Amen? and pulling together and working together and hearing the Word of God. Hunger for the Word of God. Real revival is, listen, for those that have been born again, that are saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Real true revival is whenever they want and hunger for more of the Word of God. Amen. Revival is not all about people getting saved as much as it is about those that are saved getting hungry for the Word of God. Philip was, listen, he was preaching and sharing the Word of God to them, working miracles and all the things that were taking place, which he did. He did that under the power of God, and God, of course, using him to bring about those things. The people with one accord gave heed. That means they applied the things they were hearing, they were applying them to their life. The blending speaks of doing. And they was not only saying things, but they were making changes and, listen, doing some things. Many people say that they get saved and that they get revived and they never change in the things they're doing. There's a problem with that. Amen? There's a problem when we say that we've been revived and nothing changes. There'll always be changes when a revival takes place. The changes is the evidence that there has been a revival. Now also, we noticed that the people there, they was hearing, they was seeing the miracles, and they was heeding and hearing the Word of God, and things were being done. But in the process of all that, we find that the opposing power is never enjoying and never likes whenever we have revival. It's always somebody that wants to try to stop what God's doing. We find in verse number 7, the unclean spirits crying with a loud voice. Can many that were possessed with devils, and many taken with the positives healed, that were lame were healed. And those unclean spirits came out. And the devil certainly doesn't like that. Amen. He likes for those things that are his to be left alone. Demon possession is a real thing. I'm not going to deal with that tonight. I don't want to deal with that tonight because that's something I don't want to deal with. Amen. Not tonight. Amen. Moving right along. But it's a real thing. And the people can be possessed with a demon. Just as much as they can be possessed with the Holy Spirit, they can be possessed with unclean spirits. But we find that some of those the demons were cast out and things were done, that there was evidence of things taking place. And everybody, the Bible says in verse number 8, there was great joy in that city, and everybody was enjoying the revival except for those that opposed the revival. Find there that there's one, the Bible says, whose name was Simon, verse number 9, a certain man called Simon, which aforetime in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. There's many people of our day that like to say they are used of God, they are from God, but they're nothing but from the devil. Amen. Be careful. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Amen. And we should be careful with that because there's many that have these movements and have these messages and they say they're from God. You better check your Bible, amen, and make sure that lines up with the Word of God. There's many that are deceiving and being deceived because the devil certainly don't want anybody to get on fire for God and get stirred in their soul and their spirit and preach the truth. He wants them to be mocked and made fun of, and he wants to deceive them so they will not be an effective Christian. See all that taking place, and there's many that followed him and said he was some great one, and to whom they gave heed, and from the least to the greatest, and this man has great power of God, and we certainly find that in our day, amen. There's a lot that people follow after and said, oh, they've got great power, look at what they're doing, and look how many people flocking through their meetings. You better watch that stuff. It brings out, a real revival brings out the deceiver. Simon, listen, verse number 18 and 19 offers money for that gift. He didn't have it. He realized what Philip was doing, the thing that he was doing was of God. Philip had power that Simon did not have. God has all power. The devil certainly don't have all power. He's got some, he don't have all. Amen. And Simon realized he didn't have the power that Philip had, and he offered to buy that. Give you money for that. He's a deceiver. His desire was to have the thing that he couldn't have. His deception, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity, brings out those deceivers. Deceivers will counterfeit revival. Deceivers will commercialize revival. Many in our day that is commercializing revival. I'm telling you, you can be on the social media and you can find it posted just about every week. Somebody's having revival. They got a tent up. They're having revival and hundreds are getting saved and thousands are getting saved and all these things are happening. And they give all these big numbers of the people that are getting saved. I'm not saying people don't get saved in revival, But I'm telling you, you better be careful with that, because the deceivers are out there to deceive men and women into believing what they're doing is of the power of God. Many times it's not. True revival will bring great joy, amen? There'll be evidence, there'll be changes, and the crowd will be excited, not about what the minister's doing, but about what God is doing. Many times they brag on the evangelist, and, oh, this great man, what a great man, he's doing great things. Hey, listen, it's not about the man, it's about the master, amen? It's about the Lord. So we better be careful with that. We find that as Philip goes down to Samaria, to the city, which no one else wanted to go to. Some people say they was half-breeds. They was half Jew, half Gentile. They didn't have anything, any dealings with the Jews, and they were Samaritans. And we find that he goes down and begins to preach unto them. The Word of God has power, and it doesn't return void, and it has effect on those people, and they believe on what's being said, and they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They see this deceiver come in. They watch his power. They watch the things that he does. And they give heed to some of the things. And the Bible says they say that this man has great power. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. It fooled them for a long time. But God shows up through the man named Philip, through the real evangelist. And the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And they were baptized, both men and women. And God certainly used Philip to bring about a true revival. We need true revival in our day. Amen? We need that. Revival certainly is needed in our church. And we need revival. Most of the time we'll find that revival comes when persecution is in the church. Revival is needed when persecution's in the church. Amen? When there's problems in the church, we need revival. And we need to understand how important revival is to the church and to us individually. And also we need to understand tonight that God can use us publicly and privately. We don't have to be a deacon of the church. We don't have to be the pastor of the church. But we are individuals that are saved by the grace of God. And we know the Word of God. We should have studied that, should be studying that, and be able to take the Word of God to the co-workers, to the family, and to the friends, and those of our neighborhood, and be able to share the Word of God with them, that they too may be born again. Amen? They can hear the Word of God, heed the Word of God, and certainly be saved. We see that Philip did that, and the Bible says that he preached unto the eunuch there, and started at that same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. By the way, that's just simply reading the Word of God and expounding. It's the Word of God, amen, that he read, and this is the Word of God that Philip relied on. He didn't need some textbook. He didn't need some commentator, some commentary. Only thing he needed was the Word of God. Amen. Just to rely on that, and that's what he did. And we certainly see that the eunuch believed that also, and he was saved. I believe that, and certainly baptized. As we look at this passage of Scripture, there's so many things that we could preach from this. I mean, it's just absolutely loaded. The book of Acts is loaded. But the biggest thing I want you to understand tonight is that revival, when revival comes, revival is certainly needed in our churches. Amen. It is needed in our churches, and we need to be stirred in our hearts, stirred in our soul, in our spirit. But when revival comes to us as an individual or as a church, there will be evidence of change. Things will change. It won't stay the same. People say they've been revived and they still live in their sin, still live in their wickedness. There's churches that say they've had revival and nothing's changed. That's not true revival. And we need that. Heritage Baptist Church needs a real Holy Ghost sent revival. Amen. We need that for each and every one of us. Well, preacher, we don't have a big crowd. It don't take a big crowd. Amen. We don't need a big crowd to have revival. We just need to be revived in our soul and our spirit, rely upon the Word of God, hear the Word of God, heed the Word of God, and share that with others, and watch what God does. Amen. I believe if we get sold out for God and get serious about seeing souls saved and be serious about those around us that are dying and going to hell, God will use us in great and mighty ways. I believe that. Amen. When a soul has truly been saved, the servant passes out of the picture, that Christ may be all in all. It wasn't about Philip, it was about the Lord. It seems that Philip had settled down in Caesarea. Next time we meet him is 20-some years later, Acts chapter 21. He's still there. He's still faithful. He's a family man with four grown daughters following after their dad's faithfulness, amen, and following after him. And we find here that Philip served faithfully in the city. He served faithfully in the country, and he served faithfully in Caesarea. And so publicly, personally, and privately, God used him mightily to bring about souls for the kingdom of God. So all that being said tonight, I hope that you can get something from that, and that revival, true revival, begins with an individual. It begins in the heart of one individual. Doesn't matter who comes to preach the message. It doesn't matter how many people are in the congregation. Revival starts with one individual that listens, that hears the Word of God and heeds the Word of God, confesses their sin, gets their heart right with God, get in tune with God, and revival can start with that one individual. Amen? How we need that. Pray that God would allow me to be the one that brings about revival. God, use me. God, help me to get myself right, get myself in tune with you, that help me to make the right decisions and heed the Word of God, that I may be used, Lord, to bring about revival in my church. But that ought to be our prayer. Amen? God, use me. God, allow me to be the key to revival. Well, if we begin to pray like that, I believe God will change our hearts and our minds. Amen? And I believe He can certainly revive our church. These are just a few things I want to share with you out of the book of Acts tonight. Hope it's a help and a blessing to you. God used Philip. He was a deacon there in the church. And all this stuff was going on, all the trouble was going on in the church. God sent him down to preach and just preach the Word of God. People believed and were saved. God certainly can use us and send revival. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord.